Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our associate pastor.
Good morning, church. I am so honored about having the opportunity to open up God's word with you this morning. And as we do this online today, because we live in a very historic moment in our country, in our world, where we're dealing with this pandemic that we are always hearing about the news. But let me remind you that even though we're not meeting together in person here this morning, and we're meeting at homes with our families, let me remind you that Christianity isn't an institution to maintain, but is a message to be proclaimed. It is something that doesn't revolve around a building, but it revolves around a message that we have, a movement amongst God's people. And the fact that we can't meet together does not mean that God is not moving amongst our lives today. And some other things that have come to my mind this past week as we prepare this message together is a quote that I heard from A.W. Tozer that says, "A sacred world needs a fearless church." So let's be intentional with where we're putting our trust in North Central. Let's be intentional how we're living that out in our lives this week. And another passage that has popped out to me before we go to our main passage in Ephesians this morning is Isaiah 49:15. In Isaiah 49, Isaiah tells us that, "Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child in her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you." What he's telling us in this passage here is, can a woman actually forget about her newborn child? Absolutely not. Neither will God ever forget about us. In fact, to put it in today's world, God's nanny cam is always on us. He is always watching us. He's always with us. So even if we're afraid and anxious, I've heard once be said that anxiousness is paying interest on the debt that we may not even owe. Let's not be so consumed with the brokenness and be consumed with what's going on that we forget what God has called us to do, to go and make disciples of all the nations, regardless of what's going on in those nations he has called us to. So this morning, church, I'm so excited that we get to continue our series in Ephesians. And just like we finished in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 last week, we are picking up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and finishing that chapter together. Now, as you grab your Bibles, grab your pens, as you go ahead and get ready this morning to study God's word, if you want to put a title to what we're studying this morning, I will want to give the word the title, Level Up. And it came to me this past week. It's kind of a funny story. But I have an old MacBook in my office, a 2011 MacBook, which is like ancient in today's world, in the tech world. And my phone is pretty new. It's updated. No cracks in it yet. But the problem is my computer is so old in my office that my phone cannot communicate with it, because I can't update my computer anymore because this is so ancient. And it causes a little bit of problem. I'll be honest with you. I'm not ready for that. And kind of like we see that same theme in this passage in Scripture this morning. You know what? Because our vertical relationship with God always affects our horizontal relationship with one another. And if we aren't able to level up in what God calls us to do when we live amongst one another, we're going to have that friction. We're going to have that disunity, this communication that isn't what God had planned it for. But that's why Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus and writes it to us too. What are ways that we can level up our relationship with one another as we pursue God together? And so, if you have your copy of God's word, starting in verse 25 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, let's read that together this morning. "Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. So let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, and shouting, and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So in this passage, there's five exhortations, five quick things that Paul tells the church and we too need to hear about what does it look like to level up in our relationships with one another. So the first one is in verse 25. We are called to level up in our speech. Another way to put it, to level up in our communication. And in each one of these exhortations, Paul tells us three quick things. There's a negative aspect to it. There's a positive aspect to it. And then there's a motivation behind it. And we see here the first thing, the negative part, is put away lying. That's something we are not to do. Just what we're to do, to put away lying. But a positive aspect of it, what do we do then? Speak the truth, each one to his neighbor. Because why? We are members of one another. And actually, what's really cool about this passage is Paul pulls something out from Old Testament theology. Actually, he pulls something out from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. And our verses we see here, speak the truth each one to his neighbor, is actually Zechariah in verse 8:16. But I want to point you back to 15 real quick, because I think it's so neat to see how God's working in our life today and working in our church, because we see this passion in the very last words Paul tells us, or Zechariah tells us in 8:15, is do not be afraid. Why is that? Well, he tells us in that chapter, because God is working in the life of the Israelites. He tells us that, you know, the future is in God's hands, and one day we will be in the New Jerusalem, this eschatological future he's talking about, and where we will be able to speak the truth to each one to his neighbor. And Paul is telling us that we are living in that time now in a very real sense, because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. The promised Savior, Jesus, has done what needed to be done. He lives with us now, and we live at that time together. And so as we actually wait for the final ending, as we look towards the future where we see perfection that God had planned, he's also telling us we're living in it right now. And what this tells me, church, and tells us, church, as we're studying this, that God's not done with us yet. You know, God keeps his promises. He keeps his word. What he told Zechariah, we're seeing and living right now. And he has a future for us in the future. He has a plan for us in the future. And so you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's going on in the world, because God's going to make sure it works all for his glory and for our good. And so what do we need to do? Give up lying. Give up speaking untruth to one another. And with all the stuff that's going on today with the news and the articles, and we're just so easy to scroll through our phones. Let's put down the scrolling of the phones and open up our Bibles where one truth we see in news yesterday is no longer applies to us today or even tomorrow, but God's word is unchanging and is always going to be true. So let's not focus and, you know, unintentionally tell lies about what's going on and this person has a sickness and this person doesn't, because we don't want to be unintentionally lying to one another, but speaking truth, which is God's word. A second point there, not only are we to level up in our speech, our communication, but we are to level up in our conduct. Verses 26 to 27, we see Paul tell us that we are to be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. He is telling us, well, in fact, he's actually once again referring us back to the Old Testament. He says, look at what happens in Psalm 4:4. In fact, the words be angry and do not sin, which is kind of weird. I'll be honest with you. First time I read that, like, all right, Paul, where are you getting at here? But he says, go look at Psalm 44, because that's exactly where he gets this idea from. As we go back to Psalm 4, we read that the psalmist is actually going through a trial at this time. He has been falsely accused and unjustly ridiculed because of a crime that he did not do. And even though he knows that he is innocent, this reproach of this hangs heavily upon his shoulders. And God in this time replaces the anger and gives him a heart of joy and peace. And we see that here, be angry, do not sin. What God is telling us in this passage is, you know what? Sometimes we're going to be angry and our anger is going to be justified because of wrong that's happened in our life. But even when that does happen, we see next, what is the negative or the positive point here? He says, but don't let the sun go down on your anger, because it's going to give the devil a foothold into our heart. You know, it's not give a, it's already, life is hard enough already, all right? So let's not give the devil an on-ramp into our heart by allowing sin, by allowing anger consume us in our own lives, even if it's righteous anger against abortion and against this, the media, and anger against what's going on and across the board, even though we're justified in it, we need to trust God that he is going to make all things right again, and he will. And so put your trust and faith in God and don't let this anger hold in your heart. Thirdly, we see in verse 28 that not only are we to level up in our speech and in our conduct, but we are to level up in our work and compassion. And it's kind of a weird verse when I see it too. I say, don't let the thief no longer steal. And it makes sense to me. It's like, we already know stealing is wrong. But what is Paul saying? It's like, all right, I already know stealing wrong. Let's move on to the next point. But when we do that, we forget who Paul is talking to in the church in Ephesus. The people who were changed by the gospel in Ephesus were people whose lifestyles were marked by stealing and brokenness. And they are so used to it now that they're believers in Christ. Paul has to tell them, you know, you shouldn't do that anymore, because scripture, God tells us we should not steal. And what it reminds us here, that in our work and compassion, that the people that we draw into our community are going to act like lost people. They're going to act like they don't know what's going on, because even though the Spirit lives within them, they need us to come around, disciple them, and to grow them, and to help them out. In fact, what is the motivation behind not stealing, helping others? The purpose is not so I can have more Oreos to sit and watch Netflix at night. No, the purpose is that we can be generous with what God has given us and help each other out. Have compassion on one another. And I love this, the practicality of that in our life and where we're living at today. Let's not be so busy about what I can get to myself, but let's be generous with what we have gotten, the cleaning supplies, the food, the milk, and let's give to our neighbors and those in need because of our generosity and love for them. For our women's Bible study through the gathering, the girls have been following. My wife pointed this out to me this morning, and I thought it was so cool and worth repeating. It said, in the midst of scarcity, we need even more generosity, because this cultivates true unity that unbelievers can look at and see a glimpse of Jesus Christ, not for favors in return, but out of the abundance that God can make from our emptiness. So not only are we called to level up in our communication, our conduct, and our compassion, but fourthly, we are to level up in verse 29 in our constructive communication. It's a little bit different from the communication we saw quite earlier, just a few minutes ago, because this communication is not just lying, but having foul language. This word that gives us is a reflection of what we see in Matthew chapter 7, 17 through 18, this idea of decaying, this idea that's an unwholesome word and talk is like a rotten apple from a rotten tree. I've eaten that before and it scarred me for life, you know? But that's what the visual picture looks like when we speak unwholesomely, when we have foul language to one another. And it's not just language, but it's the what is behind the language itself. It's not just saying bad words. It's actually beyond that and saying it's the way we speak about the situation we're in, negativity, brokenness, always talking about that glass is half full, half empty, not half full. You know, it's always talking about this idea that right now that a lot of us are falling in the trap of, that we're just talking about the brokenness in our world and this ridiculousness of society that we live in and everyone's buying toilet paper. You know, let's put that negative talking away and let's let our communication be seasoned with the grace of God and the joy that we have in him. Because others will ultimately replicate what we communicate and what we celebrate in our lives. Your kids, our families, the lost world is watching us. So let's let our communication be seasoned with the beauty of Christ. And then finally, the final exhortation we see in verse 30 here, it says, do not grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. The summary of what we just read all comes together at this one point, that as we are united because of the Spirit that lives within us. And so let us not grieve that Spirit amongst one another. And even in this time of day that we live in now, but let's focus on worshiping God, not just our words, but with our hands. A truth learned but not applied forms a callous on our souls. So let's not just be okay with knowledge, but with wisdom of living it out in our lives. So what are we to do, church? We see that in the last two verses, 31 and 32. 31, talking about things we need to get rid of, and 32, things that we need to pursue. And if I were to summarize all of that, I would say in Mark 12, 31, we need to love our neighbors. Because right now, we have the beautiful opportunity to love our community well in a new way. So how can we live out loving our neighbors today, this week? It's very simple. Pray. Pray that those who have a compromised immune systems in our church won't fall victim of this illness. Pray that the people who are working in the hospitals and working in the grocery stores, that God, that we will have the opportunity to love on them and to be the hands and feet of Jesus by praying and caring for them in ways that instead of using them, but, you know, actually caring for them. You know, let's actually not just talk about being community with one another, but let's actually live it out by, if you know a neighbor who's having difficulty, who's old, you know, perhaps you need to go grocery shopping for them, because it's probably not best for the elderly to go out right now with the type of sickness this is. So let's actually buy groceries for them. Let's buy dinner and make dinner for a family in need. You perhaps that right now, because all the schools are out right now for 2 weeks, a lot of daycares are now canceling at this moment. But what if a mother has to work in a hospital or has to work a shift at the grocery store because they need to make needs in? Perhaps we can not just sit there and watch Netflix all day, but say, hey, I'm going to take the time that I have to actually babysit and to care for them. And when people see us in the grocery stores, when they see us in Target and Walmart with a bag, a cart full of things which are not our own, will give us opportunities to share the love of Christ. Because when that outside world looks through our doors, they see us living life through our windows, they see us putting down our fears, putting down our anxiety, and putting away our needs and wants for the sake of one another. The world sees something greater than itself. It sees Christ in us. So church, let's be the hands and feet of Jesus in the time that we have this week. God, we ask tonight, as this morning, as we worship you and study your word, that the truths that you have given us won't just be something that we mark off on a list and move on in our lives, God. But your Spirit that lives within us, compel us to live for you this week. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.